It is the last Sunday of the Easter season, and thus we conclude our series on the parables. And Terry, I don't have my clicker, so you're going to have to help me out here. Thank you. We have been going through the Easter season, looking at the parables as scenes in a masterwork play that describes the kingdom of God. And today we come to our final scene, the grapes of wrath. And we're taking our text today from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. It will be on the screen, but I invite you to use whatever text you have, whether that be in print or electronically. And the text says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And they, when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us, thanks be to God. I invite you now to pray with me this prayer of illumination as we pray together. God, you are big-hearted with no limitation. You overgive and overpay, handing us not only the rewards due us, but heaping on us the fortunes of everlasting life and love. We thank you that heaven is not just like our earth, that grace does not abide in our rules. We are grateful that our little ways open out when we listen to you. Lavish your spirit of kindness upon us. Help us give and never count the cost. Amen. The day had been long and hot. The sun came out early and began to beat down on them fiercely by noon. Yet it felt good to be in the fields, working with his hands and doing honest labor. There was something about feeling the weight of the bunch of grapes in his hands as he sliced them from the vine that made him think that he was connected to something bigger than himself. When his basket became full, he could start on another basket. He felt accomplishment. The rhythm of cutting, placing, and filling allowed time to reflect and to relax his mind. He had noticed others joining the group as the day had progressed, but he was not concerned with them. He had arrived early in the morning to be one of the first to get the job. He prided himself on always having worked to provide for his family. You would not know it by talking with him that he worried how people viewed him. Was he a good provider? Was he seen as a good father, a good husband? His work defined him to himself. He knew he wasn't educated enough to rise to the ranks of the landowner, but he secretly wanted to be praised for his industry. This is how he saw himself. That is how he defined what it meant to be a good man and a faithful person. The man had followed the teachings of Moses as best he could and made the yearly sacrifices at the temple when he could afford the price. He tried to live a life that was righteous in the sight of the law. He was not perfect. He knew that. Lately, though, he had been listening to a new preacher in town, a man who did not speak in large words, but instead told stories. These stories were easy to remember, and the stories made sense. For the first time, he understood that God was nearer to him than ever before. The man realized that God wanted him to rediscover the image of God that was placed in him at his creation. After listening to the preacher for these past months, the man began to open his heart to the possibility that his life had been full of preoccupation with self-interest. He'd been comparing himself with everyone in order to make sense of who he was instead of allowing God to define him. If someone else was given reward, he felt unworthy inside. If his children were not signaled out, then he was disappointed in them and himself. Though no one would ever perceive it, he was constantly measuring himself against the accomplishments of others. He had always been competing with others, trying to prove that he was just a bit better. He worked harder to always fill more baskets of grapes so that he could be noticed. He made sure his house was a bit nicer than his neighbors, though not too much so that he would be accused of being a braggart, but enough to be noticed. He had to be slightly better than his brothers. He wasn't outwardly overly competitive, but inside his nature was to always overachieve in order to define himself. This new preacher had turned this man's world upside down. As the day in the field began to wane and his muscles began to tighten, his mind finally freed him of this anxiety. The long day of labor had done its work on his heart, too. The clarity hit him so profoundly that he stopped harvesting and stared at the grapes. A huge, broad, and intense smile spread across his face, and he began to laugh. Others around him feared he'd been in the sun too long, but the man began to continue to laugh. He felt lighter than when the day began. He was immediately aware of a presence that had not been there before. The man knew that this was a moment of revelation, a pivotal moment in time. It was a watershed moment. The man realized that he did not need to compare or compete in order to have God love him. In fact, he could not earn God's love. God loved him because God loved him. God's love is freely given to everyone, and God wanted all people. The man realized our value was defined by a God who deemed all of us worthy. We were not defined by our possessions, our reputations, or our performance. That was the message of the preacher. That was what those stories were trying to teach. That was what Jesus was talking about. There in the vineyard, the man took his first steps into the kingdom of God. In a small way, he felt he experienced a type of death, a death to self. The old way was gone, and the new self was emerging. He had won clarity. It was as though his eyes had been finally opened and he could see for the first time. He felt both peace and exhilaration. His need for judgment was replaced with the realization that he was fully accepted by God, and that brought joy. He had encountered grace. It was time to collect his earnings, and the man finished gleaning his row of grapes. He emptied his last basket for the day and washed up as best he could. He headed to the table where their landowner sat, distributing the daily wages. Because of his laughter at the grapes and his decision to finish harvesting his row, he was the last of the workers to approach the table. All of the workers had left the area, and the landowner was just about to leave himself. When the man approached the table, the landowner looked worn out and out of sorts. "I suppose you want to complain about the wages too," said the landowner. "No, we agreed on a fair price at the start of the day. Besides, I've gained much while in the field today." "Oh," said the landowner. "Yes, I have found peace because I have found my true self. I have found that God wished that all of us come to God, no matter when that may be, early in our years or late. I have learned that God desires everyone to be in the vineyard of God's love." "It's funny," said the man, "what you can learn from grapes." "Indeed," said the landowner. As the man walked home from the vineyard, he saw a crowd gathered around the itinerant preacher as Jesus began to tell another story. Over the course of the last five sermons, we have learned the following things about the kingdom of God. God is extravagant in sowing seeds of grace. God welcomes sinners into the kingdom of God. Gathering for ourselves is counter to the principles of the kingdom. We are called to take initiative, to work with urgency, to use our resources with shrewdness for spreading the gospel. We do not need to compete or compare ourselves to other people in order to win God's love. We do not need to dominate others in order to prove that we are worthy to be in the kingdom. God desires that every one of God's children be a part of God's kingdom, no matter when they come to that realization. And lastly, and most profoundly of all, grace is open to everyone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As our musicians come forward,